Welcome to the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. Please enjoy the podcast from My Lesbian Radio.
Hello and welcome to episode 38 of the Lesbian Book Club with me, your host, Claire Lydon. First of all, Happy New Year, Happy 2018. How did we get here? 2018 sounds kind of a space odyssey or something, doesn't it? But we do have hoverboards, but aliens haven't yet landed, unless you count Nigel Farage, which I do, clearly. Anyway, let's not get into politics, because that's not what this show is about, is it? So on this edition, we're going to do things a little differently because I've been away in Australia and Thailand for Christmas and New Year, which I'll get onto later. I didn't manage to get an interview scheduled for January, bad me, but I thought what I'd do instead is I'd still bring you the lesbian fiction charts, but I'd fill you in on my goals for 2018. So if you can stand me blathering on for a little bit more, this episode is for you. And also, I'm going to include an excerpt from my audiobook, Nothing to Lose, read by my professional narrator, Gabrielle Baker, who's fantastic. So I'm going to tag that on to the end so you can have a listen to my audiobook, which came out in August last year and has done very well. So thanks very much if you did buy it. So first up then, January 2018. Let's take a look at what's hot in the UK and US Amazon lesbian fiction charts. So number one, as I record this on January the 11th, is in the UK and US, is Casting Lacey by Elle Spencer. Now, this one has a woman lying on a bikini. On a bikini? In a bikini. I assume she's got her bottom half of a bikini on. You can only see the top. But I mean, so far, say lesbian romance, I guess. But it's getting stellar reviews, and having read the synopsis, I can see why. Here's the story. Quinn Kincaid, great name by the way, Quinn Kincaid, is an actress on a hugely successful US TV show, and she wants to come out, but she doesn't want to do it alone. So her publicist suggests hiring a girlfriend, who happens to be a soap actress, to play said girlfriend for her, and Quinn reluctantly agrees. And said hired girlfriend is an actress called Lacey, who also happens to be gay. So you can guess what happens here. Cue hate at first sight, obviously turning into love with a capital L. That was love in my strange accent. Now, as we all know, Hollywood and celebrity stories are catnip for romances. And lesbian romance is no different in that regard. And this one is proof positive of that particular formula. Plus, I read the sample and I reckon this woman can surely write, or else she's got very, very snappy dialogue. I read that much in the first couple of pages. So I've downloaded it for my Kindle because it sounds good. One review even compares it to I'm playing the role of myself, herself, I never get it right, by Kay Lane, which, as everyone knows, is the book that is a modern day classic in lesbian fiction and lesbian romance in particular. And so such comparisons are frankly huge. So well done, Elle Spencer. Plus, the only other Elle I've ever known was on Legally Blonde, and he doesn't love Reese Witherspoon. So Reese Witherspoon, she said, sounding like she's got a lisp. But in my next life, I want to come back as someone called Elle. Maybe I should make that a character in my next book. Maybe I should. Anyway, also doing well, so that's number one. Hooray for her. Also doing well in the charts is Laura Conway's Winter Nights. Now, this one concerns a character called Natalie, who runs into her old teacher, Elizabeth, who's newly divorced. And Natalie's schoolgirl crush was Elizabeth, and she's obviously now available and in easy reach. But will the 14-year age gap be divisive? Now, this is a short read, and it's been roaming the charts for quite a while over the December-January period, so I thought it was worth a mention. I haven't read it, but it's getting some good reviews. Also, big up for the cover art design. It's got a very wintry cover, and somebody opened that Photoshop effects book and went to town. So well done to whoever did that. Also doing well in the charts, if you are a J.A. Armstrong fan, and who isn't, frankly, Sweet Things is the third book in her First Course series, which takes another look, another spoonful, shall we say, of life from Carrie and Devon. Hot on the heels of a romantic proposal, the pair are trying for a family and then get one when a tragedy hits. So expect a funeral, a Christmas wedding, all packed into 144 pages of this next instalment of J.A.'s series, Sweet Things. And hats off to J.A. Armstrong, because she keeps producing books in many series that readers simply gobble up. They love them. And so, yeah, she's doing something very right. And well done to her and Nancy Ann Healy, who is J.A. Armstrong. We've had her on the podcast before, and she's very lovely. And for juggling all those series in her head, she must have some serious series Bibles on her desk to remember whose hair is what colour and who does what. Because I tell you, having just been writing my fourth book in my London series, I had to reread all three books and I'm beginning to wish that I'd done a Bible, which I am doing now. So what else is doing well in the charts? Well, Emily Sharp's The Perfect Fit is a modern day lesbian Cinderella story, with down on her luck Kayla Rose answering the call of multimillionaire Laura Stone, who's looking for love. But as usual, the path to true love does not run smooth, so will they be each other's perfect fit? And last but not least, All the Love Songs by Nicola Pyland might be a horse worth backing, as it's currently number 4 in the US charts. It's another celebrity romance, but this time the celebs will go on an adult summer camp. I know, weird. Organised by a mega celebrity. So the mega celebrity is a singer, from what I can make out. And at the summer camp, two well-known actresses get together. So you can expect singing, snogging, sensations and sparks aplenty, I'm predicting. And the protagonists are called Peyton, Lennox and Mackenzie, which frankly wouldn't wash in the UK, but apparently these are names. So that's the chart roundup for January 2018. So welcome to the new year. I hope you had a fabulous Christmas and rang in 2018 with good company and fine wine. And if it wasn't fine wine, I hope at least it wasn't Blossom Hill, because as we all know, that gives you a headache in the morning. I say this from bitter experience, because my family love a bit of Blossom Hill, probably because it's normally 3 for a tenner. That's a little window on my family there. My wife and I spent New Year in a gay bar in Bangkok, surrounded by gay men, because we couldn't find any lesbians. Sad but true. We did in fact meet two lesbians from London, of course we did, earlier on in the evening, and that was fantastic, and they were a right laugh. But despite having seen many lesbians out and about in the streets and the shopping malls of Bangkok, and it's true, I saw more les streets and shopping malls of Bangkok than I ever do in London. So there you go. We were no closer to knowing where they hung out at New Year. So sadly, or not sadly, because we still had a ball with all the gay boys, lots of party poppers and cold beer to see in the New Year. Thailand was our at the end of a month-long holiday for us, which was just fabulous. We had 2 weeks in Australia for my nephew's wedding, but we also caught up with my wife's family and friends who were in Sydney, and it was hot, hot, hot. I think it actually still is hot. If you're listening in Sydney, you're probably sitting there going, it still is hot, Claire. It's summer. Yes, we weren't even in the height of summer when we were there, but it was 40 degrees while we were there, which, as we all know, is scorchio. But it was lovely to get some winter sun. I've never done that before, never been away for Christmas, and I would highly recommend it. And the 2 weeks we spent in Thailand was pretty spiffy, especially the week on a paradise island between Christmas and New Year, and I can still feel the sand between my toes if I really, really squeeze my eyes shut hard enough. I did manage to get a little work done on the fourth book in my London series entitled The London of Us, I can reveal now. And I am busy getting the first draft of that finalised this month, so I'm excited for that. However, it won't be out till later in the year, as it's scheduled for a simultaneous launch with the audiobook version, and so they need 3 months to do that once I finished it. So if you're looking forward to that, I hope you are. You just have to hang on 3 months more. So I reckon it'll be out June time. So the other thing I was going to talk about today was goals. as well as what I've been up to. And have you done your goals for 2018? I did mine recently, although I have been looking at them and thinking, are they a bit soft? So I might up them a little bit, but I think they're not too bad. If I achieve them all, I'll be well happy, as they say. So I've got 10 goals for the coming 12 months of 2018. The first one is to go audiobook crazy. Last year saw the publication of my first audiobook, Nothing to Lose, and it was a runaway success, frankly, which surprised me, but thrilled me, of course, as well. And this year, as well as producing Twice in a Lifetime in a collaboration with a new narrator, Audible also bought my entire London romance series, including the title I'm still writing. So you can expect 5 new audiobooks from me this year. I know, 5. Nothing and then like buses, they all come at once. So I'm very excited for that. It's going to be a really, really cracking year audio-wise. And by the end I'll have 6 audiobooks out. So, the London romance series is going to be narrated by 2 different narrators. So, that's all been confirmed now. So I'm very excited about that. Number 9 in my goals is to be kinder to myself. And I'm sure this is something that you can all associate with as well. Especially if you work on your own, because when you work on your own, it's very easy to set goals like this. And when you achieve them, to not celebrate them. Or just not be kindly to yourself and say well done when you've done something. So I'm pretty good at celebrating my book launches, actually. I have to say that. Whenever I launch a book, I go out, my wife and I go out, and we have a lovely dinner and some champagne, and it's very nice. But I need to sort of pat myself on the back a bit more for just general stuff I achieve. So this year I'm going to make a concerted effort to wink at myself more in the mirror and give myself a hug. So if you see me winking at myself, you know what I'm doing. Number 8 on my list, on my goals list, is to grow my VIP readers group. Now, if you're in this already, and if you're not, what are you doing? If you'd like to be in it, just go to www.clairelydon.co.uk, fill in the box at the top of the page that says, would you like a free novella? Or free lesbian romance, sorry. Just fill in your first name and your email address. Click the link, the button that says, get my book, and I'll send it to you. And then you become part of my VIP readers group, which is very exciting. And you receive my lesbian romance, It Had to Be You, for free. And who doesn't love something for free? And that is a book my wife says is her favourite thing I've ever written, which is praise indeed, because she's, you know, she normally rips my stuff to shreds in a loving way. So she loves that one. If you're in the club, you also get a heads up on my new releases, on sales I'm running. And plus, I do a twice monthly update on what I'm writing, reading and doing in my life. So a little bit like this, but in written form. My plan is to grow that list a little bit more. So that's very exciting. Number 7 on the goals is do a bit more public speaking and networking. Now, I'm an introvert, so networking isn't easy for me. In fact, I'd rather stick pins in my eyes or have my shins planed. Put me on stage to sing karaoke or give a talk. I'm all in because I control it. That's the introvert doesn't mean you're shy. It just means you recharge your batteries better. You need some space away from people. You're happy to go. I'm very sociable, but I'm also need some space away from people to recharge. And my idea of hell is put me in a room full of strangers. I run for the hills. So this year I'm going to a self-publishing conference in February, and I'm hoping to take a deep breath, push myself out of my comfort zone and talk to some people I've never met before. Let's see if it works. But it, maybe this is something that you suffer with as well. Not suffer with, but this is your personality type. And I think it's good to challenge yourself and push yourself out of your comfort zone. So I will be doing that in 2018. I was going to say 17 then. Even doing this podcast, I really enjoy it. But I'm nervous before interviewing every author I interview. So it's a challenge for me every month. But I really do love doing it. So this feeds into the public speaking thing, I suppose. Also, I am already booked to do two public speaking gigs for LGBT History Month, one at the LGBT group Transport for London, and that's going to be in February. And Worcester Libraries have just started stocking all my books, which is very random but lovely. And they've asked me to come along to the library and do a reading and a Q&A there in February. So I will be going along. So if you're anywhere near Worcester, look out for their events in February. I've suggested a date. I'm waiting for them to come back and say yes or no. In publishing, I'm planning to produce two new novels at least. The London of Us is being written right now. Should be out in June, as I said. And I'm going to do another standalone book. And I'm hoping maybe to do another one, but I think maybe two on my own as a solo author might be as much as I'm going to do this year. But I maybe fit in another one. We'll see. I'm also going to continue podcasting throughout the year, so I hope you're happy to hear that. I've already got February's interview set up. I'm interviewing EJ Noyes, who wrote the very well-received Ask Tell last year, and she's just written Turbulence this year. I just read Turbulence on while I was lying on my Thai beach, and I have to tell you, it was a very, very good read. I was one of those books that I read and I put down and thought, shit, are my books as good as that? Because do people have this reaction to my books? you know what I mean? You know it's a good book when you worry if your books are as good as that. So yeah, well done to her, and I'm really looking forward to talking to her and trying not to fangirl too much with her. My other goal is to write. I've got two other publishing goals that I haven't done before. So first one is to put out a couple of non-fiction books. Now this is because I've already written them back in 2008, so 10 years ago. So they are going to need a bit of updating, dusting off, fine-tuning, but they're in the LGBT sphere. I had a publishing contract to publish them, but in 2008 the financial crisis hit and the publisher went out of business, and so I thought that was that. But it's not that, because I managed to get them off a computer last year that I thought was buggered, frankly. But I got the manuscripts off the computer and they're not bad. So I'm going to dust them off, polish them down and launch them in the run-up to Christmas. So that's exciting. And I'm also going to try to write a book collaboratively, a novel or a lesbian romance novel. Now, this is something I haven't tried before and I've no idea how it's going to go, because as well as being an introvert, I'm also a control freak. So we'll see. But I have a collaborator in place. We're not going public with it yet, but we have a book worked out, kind of. So we just need to write it. So watch this space and see if it happens. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. But I'm hoping it will. The other thing I'm planning to do this year is read a new book from a new genre every month. Now, this is because last year one of my goals was to read more widely. And I read a slew of fabulous romances, straight, gay and lesbian, and along with some wonderful literary fiction. I read a fantastic poetry called Night Sky with Exit Wounds by Ocean Vuong, which is brilliant. And I read some very striking craft and productivity books. So this year I want to widen my reading world by reading a book in a genre I've never read before every month. So that is my plan, and I've already got the one tagged I'm going to read this year. And I'm thinking I might, you know, branch out and read about lesbian pirates and shizzle. Who knows? So I will report back every month on this podcast as to what book I've written. I'm not going to write a new book every month. What book I've read. So that should keep me accountable, right? And the last one is to get a bit healthier and get a bit leaner, because sitting around writing all the time does mean you're still, and if you move more, I feel a bit better about myself. Also, my arm's gone a bit wobbly and I'm as vain as the next person, so I want to get guns of steel by the end of the year. So I'm putting it out there publicly, that's my goal for 2018. So they're my goals. Let me know your goals. Write me an email, mail@clairelydon.co.uk. So that's it from me and my intro to 2018. I hope you enjoyed that. And next, you're going to hear an excerpt from my audiobook, Nothing to Lose. And it's read by my fabulous narrator, Gabrielle Baker. And it's the opening chapter to the book. And if you enjoy it, the book is available on Audible, iTunes and Amazon and many other audiobook platforms. It's available widely. So, if you enjoy it, do go out and grab it. I hope you enjoy the beginning of the book, and I'll see you next month for more hot book club action with EJ Noyes. Cheers.
Chapter 1. It was 4 a.m. when Scarlett woke up to the insistent banging on her blue wooden front door. It came in great thumping thuds, making her eyelids spring open with fear. She rolled over and reached for her lamp. They were shouting now, too. Scarlett's heart began to gallop as she flung back the duvet, grabbing her red dressing gown, which was in a huddle on the floor. Who the heck was at her door at this time in the morning? Whoever it was, they wanted to tell her something urgently, and that thought made her hurry all the more. What if something had happened to her twin brothers, Fred and Clark? Ice crackled in her veins. Not after Mum and Dad. Please don't let anything have happened to Fred or Clark. The banging got louder. Okay, I'm coming! Scarlett snapped on the hallway light and squinted as her eyes adjusted to the harsh glare. She'd been meaning to get a shade to house the bulb, but that task had got swamped on her never-ending to-do list. She ran up the stairs as the shouting came into sharp focus in her ears.
Hello, police! Open up! Is anybody home?
Scarlett fumbled with her door keys, goosebumps breaking out all over her skin. It was cold enough to snow in her flat, never mind outside. She took a deep breath, pulled her dressing gown tighter, and opened the door. On the other side was a police officer, helmet under his arm. He looked about 12. Then again, as she was nearing 40, everyone was beginning to look young to Scarlett these days. His face was creased with concern, and when he exhaled, she could see his breath all around him. Sorry to wake you, but they're about to open the flood barrier, and I'm afraid you've got to get out. He paused, apparently searching for the next words. They eventually came. Sorry to be the bearer of bad tidings, but the likelihood is your flat will be flooded. So, take what you want with you. You've got half an hour. Scarlett blinked at him. Fear bunched in the back of her throat, quickly followed by confusion and nausea. What did he just say? Flat? Get out? Half an hour? Flooded? Her brain couldn't compute any of the words, much less put them anywhere near each other. Not when it came to talking about her flat. This was her haven, the only safe place she had left in the whole wide, disastrous world. The fuck was he talking about? Sorry? She said, her forehead scrunching as she tried to make sense of the situation. I don't understand. Wouldn't the flood barrier stop us being flooded? She'd been promised when she bought the flat that it hadn't flooded in over 60 years. Even though you're right by the river, it's very unlikely. Her estate agent had said at the time, handing over his red, shiny pen. He'd been especially proud of that fact. The police officer shrugged, his eyes apologetic, baring his yellow teeth in a pitying smile. I'm just a messenger, madam. The barrier's electrics have flooded, and they can't risk it getting stuck and flooding more. So the Environment Agency has ordered it to be opened to save as many homes as possible. They're trying to limit the damage to hundreds of homes and businesses, rather than thousands. Unfortunately, yours is one that might be sacrificed. We're preparing everyone for the worst-case scenario. Scarlett shook her head. There must be some mistake. This couldn't be happening. The estate agent had said so.
Her body was frozen to the spot. Her brain stalled. She'd thought her life couldn't get any worse than the previous weekend. But now this? If there was such a thing as a god, he or she was having a ruddy good laugh. So you're telling me I've got to get out now? Right now? She pointed a finger to the floor. He nodded again, turning to his right. She could hear one of his colleagues telling the same story to her neighbour, Ben, who had two dogs. He was going to be even less happy than her. Afraid so. Take what you want and get out. Get to the community hall and you'll be sorted out from there. She gripped the doorframe to steady herself. Wooziness swamped her brain. And there's no chance you could be wrong. You said this was just a possible scenario. He winced, then ran a hand over his stubbled chin. Scarlett reckoned there was at least 3 days' growth. It's a worst possible scenario. But if they're opening the flood barrier and you're a basement flat by the river, I'd say the likelihood of you being affected is 100%. If I were you, I'd take everything that's valuable or irreplaceable with me now. He paused, looking past her, his eyes kind and sympathetic. Will you be needing help with children or animals? His words stung, even this early. No, it's just me. Scarlett didn't have a child or a pet. It was just her, like always. Unworthy, unloved, all alone. And even when her life had suddenly turned into a disaster movie, it was still being brought up to twist the knife that little bit further. The police officer nodded, already turning away. I'll be back in a bit to make sure you've left. His boots squeaked on the pavement as he turned. Then he glanced back. And I really am sorry about this. He gave her a pained smile and ran along the road. Scarlett peered out onto the street and held her hands up at her neighbour opposite. A balding man named Mark, who always wore terrible animal print fleeces. This morning was no exception, and he'd paired the fleece with some scruffy jeans and a bobble hat. In her 2 years living in the street, she'd spoken to him twice before. Can you believe this? She said, rubbing her eyes. Mark's movements were in slow motion. It was the reason I moved here, to escape the flooding. And now they're opening the barrier. It's beyond words. He shook his head and walked back into his flat, kicking his doorframe as he did. Scarlett stood on her front doorstep and glanced up and down the street, buzzing with flashing lights and shocked utterances as news spread. Every property's front light was blazing, but the air was still, just like it should be. There was no great feeling that something major was about to happen, but apparently, it was. She stepped back inside and closed her front door with a heavy thunk. Then she rested her forehead against the cool hallway wall and listened to her elevated heartbeat in her ears. Badoom, badoom, badoom. 30 minutes. Scarlett stood in her lounge, staring at her possessions. Did she want any of them, honestly? Last weekend, she'd read an article on suicide and idly contemplated what it might be like. Kicking away a stool, hanging herself with a belt, overdosing on pills. It had turned out all of them required research and she didn't have the energy for that, so she'd parked it. Now, she was thinking that that had been a mistake. If she was dead, she wouldn't have to deal with this, would she? She could just stay in the flat and wait for the water. Would anybody miss her? She doubted it. At work, they'd probably put her absence down to the flood. Within weeks, she'd be forgotten. Just somebody they used to know. And she hadn't been in touch with her brothers for a couple of months. How long until they noticed she was missing? The only place where her absence would be keenly missed would be on the touchlines at Dulshaw FC, her beloved local football club. Matt and Eamon would miss her swearing, that was for sure. Both of them were approaching 40 and both still amused a woman could swear just as much as them. Scarlett grabbed a rucksack from her wardrobe and began putting her essentials in it. Wallet, passport, phone, tablet, laptop. She walked through to the living room and stared at the shelves, full of books and CDs. The story of her life. She couldn't take them. The first stab of regret hit her, almost taking her breath away. She closed her eyes and waited for it to pass. In her old life, in happier times, this had always been one of those questions her mates would ask after a few pints down the pub. Scarlett, Liv, Nancy and Sarah, 3 pints in down the Golden Lion, crisps ripped open on the table to share, music blaring, cheeks red, senses dulled. It had been their Sunday routine for well over a year. Lunch, followed by a few pints and slurred, slanted chats about their future together. Your house is about to burn down and you've got minutes to get out. What would you take? Liv had always gone for their dog, Alfie, jewellery and her photos. Nancy always said her record collection. She had been a vinyl nut. Sarah never knew what she'd take, so they'd always surmised that Sarah would be burnt alive trying to make the decision. Scarlett had always been the one who said she'd just walk out and leave, not giving a thought to any of her possessions. It's only stuff, she'd said. It's replaceable. By the time you've collected all your records, you're dead from smoke inhalation. But now, standing in her lounge on a peaceful January morning, she wasn't so sure. She didn't want to lose her books and CDs, or her photos. She might not like her life, but did she really want it all washed away, like it had never happened? Urgency overtook her now. She flung open her largest suitcase and began stuffing it full of things. Clothes, shoes, photos, toiletries. She ran from bathroom to bedroom to lounge, like someone on a game show, trying to fill a case as quick as they could. If anybody had been watching, they might have thought she was late for a plane and packing everything but the kitchen sink. It was exactly what she wanted to do, only she couldn't. She ran to the kitchen. Where was Mum's favourite silver Jubilee mug? She couldn't leave without that. It was one of the only things she had left. She opened the cupboard above the kettle, moving mugs aside. Her gaze raked the shelf. She couldn't see it. Scarlett scanned the draining board. Not there. She wrenched open the dishwasher and spotted it, still stained with tea from the previous day. She didn't have time to wash it up. She ran through to the bedroom and wrapped the mug in a jumper. Then Scarlett checked her watch. How long did she have? She bargained around 10 minutes. Her case was nearly full, and in contrast, her mind was blank. Real life didn't work like the pub game. Real life had decisions and consequences. She'd give anything to be back in the pub in happier times. When she brushed her teeth, tears pricked the back of her eyes. She swallowed down and nearly choked on her toothpaste. She spat and eyeballed herself in her bathroom mirror she'd been meaning to clean for weeks. Didn't matter now. None of it mattered. In the back of her mind, Scarlett had always known that. She was proud of her flat, kept it spick and span. It was the one thing that was hers now, after everything. After the split with Liv, after the ripping apart of their carefully woven lives and her delicate heart. Scarlett took a deep breath, sucking it right into her lungs. One of the last she'd ever take in this flat. There were the tears again, threatening to bubble up and out of her. Scarlett blew out a long breath. Yes, she was losing her haven, but she wasn't going to cry. She didn't have time. She dressed quickly in jeans, t-shirt, and her favourite sweatshirt, then added her trainers and coat. She couldn't bring all her coats. She couldn't bring her mum's fake fur. The tears sprung up again. Fuck it. Scarlett unzipped her case and crammed the fur in, sitting back on top of it to make sure it closed. It did. She was pretty sure a fur coat wasn't going to be needed in a flood, but it was one of the only things she'd taken from her parents' house after they'd died. That and their crockery, but she wasn't about to start packing that up. She had the mug. That would have to suffice. She had the mug. That would have to suffice. Then her eyes fell on her guitar. Should she leave it behind? Scarlett stood over it, gazing at the life it used to represent. A better, more in-tune life. She ran her finger through the layer of dust coating its surface. She couldn't leave it, even if she hadn't picked it up in over a year. Scarlett got on a chair and grabbed its case from the top of her wardrobe, laying the guitar down carefully and snapping the case shut. Maybe the flood wouldn't be as bad as they were predicting. Then again, basement flats and water were the best of friends. She should anticipate the worst. She knew that. But the thought of never seeing her clock again that she'd bought in the flea market in Lisbon. But she'd also bought it with Liv. On second thoughts, maybe it was a blessing. A banging on her door interrupted her thoughts. Scarlett wasn't startled this time. She went from room to room, checking if she'd left anything important. It didn't feel any different than all those times she'd done the same thing when she was going away for a few days, checking she'd switched off the lights, the oven, the iron. It didn't feel different at all. But it was. Who knew what she'd come back to? She had no idea at all. Her feet were suddenly dead weights, not wanting to move. Her television stood quietly, as it always did. No idea what was about to happen. Her print on the wall, a shot of the surrounding hills, a shot she was proud of and had blown up. She could get it done again. She checked her bedroom. She tried to make it her sanctuary, but it hadn't quite worked. She'd just never been in the right frame of mind. Her bathroom, with its double shower and mosaic tiles. Of all the things in her flat, this was the room she loved the most. Her boutique hotel shower. She'd modelled it on one she remembered from a visit to Milan back in the day. She exhaled. Maybe it would survive. Maybe. There was more banging and shouting. Scarlett grabbed her suitcase, backpack and guitar, then thudded slowly up her staircase, every step sealing her flat's doom. At the front door, she turned and cast a glance backwards. Her eggshell blue hallway, her old-fashioned wooden hat stand, her metal light fitting she'd looked everywhere for. She didn't want to leave, but she had to. When she opened the door, the police officer was there again, looking anxiously over his shoulder, then back to Scarlett. "You ready?" he asked. "We've got a van if you want to put a suitcase in it. We'll drop the lot at the community hall. Anything else, you can carry." Scarlett stared past his shoulder and saw a white transit van with doors open and her neighbours filling it with suitcases in the chill darkness. It was eerily silent, save for the bang of luggage and the slap of footsteps. Nobody was saying a word. Because, really, what could you say? Scarlett nodded her head and handed him her case. "That the lot?" said the PC. His tone and volume went up at the end. Scarlett got the feeling he'd asked that question a few times this morning. She nodded again. "Yeah." Her life, her claimed possessions, all in one hard black suitcase, subtle and unassuming, much like Scarlett. "Okay," he replied. "I need to see you out, too. We can't have anybody drowning." The policeman gave her a smile to go with his last comment. Scarlett wasn't in the mood for humour. She took a deep breath, checked her pocket for her keys, shifted her rucksack up on her shoulder. Then, with a leaden heart, she picked up her guitar and pulled her front door shut with a final slam. Bang.
That's the end of this Lesbian Book Club, so this is me, Claire Lydon, signing off. If you fancy dipping into any of my books, the London Romance series, the All I Want series, Nothing to Lose, or Twice in a Lifetime, you can find out more at www.clairelydon.co.uk or just look me up on Amazon, Kobo, iTunes, Bella Books, Barnes & Noble, or any of the other digital outlets. I'm also on Twitter at Claire Lydon, on Facebook, Claire.Lydon, and I'm on Instagram at ClaireFic. So come on down and see stupid pictures of my life and me babbling on Facebook. Not very often, in fact. Plus, if you'd like a free lesbian romance, sign up to my VIP Readers Club and I'll send you one for free. Go to www.clairelydon.co.uk and just fill in the box at the top of the page. Thank you so much to Denise at The Lesbian Lounge for hosting and producing this podcast. It's much appreciated. And join me next time for more hot book club action, where I'll be interviewing new author on the block, E.J. Noyes. See you then.